Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Lay down, G.I. We saw it all through the 20th century. And now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more. I want freedom. That's what I want. And that's what you should want.
It's up to each and every one of us to turn loose just some of the greed, the hatred, the envy, and yes, the insecurities, because that is the central mode of control. Make us feel pathetic, small, so we'll willingly give up our sovereignty, our liberty, our destiny. We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery, not the century of lies and issues of no significance, of classism, and statism, and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right. What a bunch of garbage, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin. Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated. The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? Resistance is not humankind is too good. We're not a bunch of underachievers. We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get on the real things, the things that matter. Creativity and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit. Well, that's it. That's all I got to say. It's in your court.
Smithing and do all kinds of things.
You even sell guns.
We even.
Oh, go to the rabble slave with a weapon. Disarm him. Get the guards. Disarm him immediately. Whereas one of the slaves has a weapon. Raise the alarm.
I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones. And yet have an assumption without presumption to know what's going on. Then I can throw bananas at the global clowns and hear aristocratic moans. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones. I went looking one day on the internet just to see what I could find. When I heard this talk show maniac just proudly speaking his mind, it was really wild, but the more I heard, it made a whole lot of sense to me. I want to thank you, Alex, for opening my eyes and helping the blind to see. I want to be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones, and yet have an assumption without a presumption to know what's going on. Then I can throw bananas at the global clowns and hear aristocratic moans. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones. Talking heads on the TV screen with an arrogant sophistication, talking about what's been going on around the world and here in that nation. They all seem to turn like a pack of wolves when I...
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Tuesday, my friends, the 7th day of August, 2012. You have found it the tip of the spear in the info war worldwide to awaken the people of the planet to the scientific tyranny known as the New World Order. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are going to be here for the next 3 hours, and what I want to do is open the phones up in this hour ahead of William Gregg, who writes for the New American Magazine and LouRockwell.com. He is going to be joining us to talk about the drone culture, the submarine drones, the aircraft drones, the ground combat robots, and where of all of this is leading. And I want to break down basically how we're allowing ourselves. Humans, you know, want to unionize in things so other humans can't drive down their wages. What about machines and pre-programmed machines? And out of the gates, the takeover by machines, because always the cutting edge of technology is weapons, is going to be unmanned and autonomous robots. Big discussion. We'll also get his take on the shooting. He's broken down the fact that not just the general public, but police have been caught on video beating the living daylights out of Sikhs, I guess thinking they're the Al-Qaeda archetype when it's the opposite group, basically. There was one case where a Sikh was beat up in his own front yard by a police officer on video and for putting his hands over his face as he was being stomped and hit with a baton, he was found that he was resisting arrest. And the courts have ruled that if you cover your teeth as they're being kicked in, you're going to go to prison. And this is all just the icing on the cake for a society on the verge of total collapse. We obviously have a lot of news on the situation that took place Sunday there in Wisconsin. The evidence points towards Operation Gladio, or a NATO option as it was also known, being incrementally implemented here in the United States. We're going to be breaking all of that down as well today. And I also want to spend some time on all of the pecking that's going on by government to make sure it's milk cows, slaves, it's blood bags, the things the mosquito class, the parasite class feeds off of. They're very upset right now because, people are selling tomatoes on street corners and lemons and things like that. And I also saw reports over the weekend all over the United States and Canada. They're saying no gardens, even in rural areas. They're evil. They're not allowed. Slaves aren't allowed to grow plants. I mean, you don't allow prisoners to grow gardens. You don't allow families to have farms. You don't allow the owners of fast food chains to have political views. You don't do that in America. This is land of the tortured, home of the slave. This is land of the GMO. This is land of the sterile, land of the cancer, land of the organ failure, land of the cursed, land of the dead. You see, the New World Order wants to persecute those who have committed crimes against evil. Crimes against evil. That's not a joke. They want to persecute and prosecute and destroy anyone who's wholesome and good, because in their evil takeover, it's anathema. It's like crosses or holy water or garlic to a vampire. As long as we are a strong, upright, focused, conscious population, they can't cross the threshold. But if they can spiritually and culturally shell us on giving in to evil, then the sky is the limit. Once we think evil's cute, once we think corruption is cute, once we buy into things like that, the shields are down and we are wide open. Here is the toll-free number to join us on any of the issues that Mike Adams did a great job covering yesterday, along with myself calling in and the crew here. We would love to hear from you today on geopolitical developments, on all of it. I will, after I give the number out, start breaking down the situation as best I can in Wisconsin. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And we will go to your phone calls here coming up at the start of the next segment. But let me now just start with the basics. You have an election year, and you have Obama behind in the polls. You have Obama run and financed basically by banker and Chicago mafia. You have Obama and his surrogates in three different fundraising letters and in an article in the Financial Times of London. Paul Watson links to this in his Sikh Temple Shooter was an Army Psychological Operations. Batman shooter James Holmes was also connected to military psychiatrist. Yeah, top psychiatrist. In that report, we link to the articles, to the videos. There's actually more than four. Three different fundraisers, one article, and then another statement. Two statements on Hardball with Chris Matthews by Democratic top advisors. So that's four, five, six. Six incidences in the last 2 years of them saying a mass shooting would really help Obama. This is Hardball, Slimeball, because it would let him reconnect with the public. And then you have the fundraisers saying, don't worry if he gets behind in the polls before the election, because our projections show he will. There'll be a mass shooting or a bombing, and it'll be blamed on domestic groups. I mean, we've read these articles. We've played these clips here at nauseam. If you're a new listener, go read the article, follow the links to it. And then this stuff starts happening right on time while they've got five bills introduced to ban all semi-autos, the possession of them, not just the sale or manufacture, to ban clips with more than 10 rounds, to ban online ammo sales, to register you when you buy guns. The list goes on and on, to allow the government to just restrict you owning guns, no judge, no jury. Not like felons with the 68 Gun Control Act. It's a nightmare. We've never seen such draconian bills. And the media's gotten slick. They've learned just to not promote the bills. Used to, they'd introduce them and promote them and say, we need to pass them. They've gotten more sophisticated. They have now come out and aren't discussing it. Or they say, we don't want your guns. We don't want your guns. You've won the debate. We agree there's a Second Amendment. It means a powder, black powder, flintlock muzzle loader. How does that sound? That's what they've done. So they're playing a psychological warfare operation. And then magically, right on time, this happens. Now, if you go over Holmes or you go over this new individual, if you look at it, it fits exactly what we'd predicted. It's not hard to do. And there's so many data points backing up the fact that this is the beginning of an Operation Gladio or NATO option here in the United States. Because we know it's been used in Europe to take the guns, in England, in Australia, and in New Zealand. This has been done over and over again, and we've followed all these past cases, and we know the playbook that private globalist mercenary organizations carry out. And we also know the playbook. We also know the playbook that has been used by governments, and we even have things like Operation Northwoods that describes how to shoot U.S. citizens and then how to blame patsies. And that's a Pentagon green-lighted plan all the way up to the president. then we have Gladio and the NATO option, both the same thing. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Some estimates, well, confirmed it's over 200, but overall 500 are suspected to have been NATO carried out terror attacks and mass shootings in Europe in the 60s, 70s, and 80s to blame political enemies of the globalist. So I'll go to your calls at the bottom of the hour. I need to come back and cover this. We're going to go to break, and I'm going to get a drink of water here, and we're going to try to go over all of this. Thank you. Got my water. Forgot to get one. Thank you. But I don't just come on air and say, oh, this is an inside job. I've learned all the signs, and these are sloppy operations. These don't count on these things being carried out with precision like fantasy Mission Impossible or something. These things all count on control of the media. Control of the media and control of the first story to come out from the beginning. It doesn't matter what really happened as long as you can put out the first narrative and keep that, quote, trust with the public. And the public doesn't trust the system anymore, but they still are naive about just how evil these globalists are. So I'm going to try to break this down just very, very simply on the other side, and then we'll go to your phone calls. Eli, Michael, Stephen, Julio, Otter, and others that are patiently holding. And when we do go to your calls, we'll try to move through those as quickly as possible. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us.
Don't call my name out your window when I'm leaving. I won't even turn.
Okay, so if you're a new listener and you tune in yesterday and you hear Mike Adams on the show, the Health Ranger, you hear Alex Jones calling in to his own radio broadcast saying it's an inside job, a false flag, a staged event, you probably don't know it's in U.S. Army manuals that were leaked by WikiLeaks, and the Army admitted that indeed they do teach people in special operations in select groups how to stage false flags. You probably didn't know there's countless declassified instances of our military going around the world and shooting up schools, school buses, you name it, to blame it on their political enemies. Because that's how you win wars, if you're just given over to Machiavellian worldview of end justifies the means. You know, a new listener probably doesn't know that Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag to take over or launched attacks on his own military bases in 1939 at Gleiwitz, as part of Operation Himmler, false flag attacks all over their border to blame Poland. But see, I live the real world, so I know what these things look like. And then you've got our own government doing this countless times. You've got Obama's top advisors saying terror attacks are coming and the right wing is going to be blamed. They mean the real right wing, the anti-New World Order crowd. And then you have the Batman shooting and the instant hype and the military top psychiatrist and the guy himself is in a mind control grant looking at areas of neural manipulation at the highest levels of a DARPA contract. Everything we expected. I said, watch there be military psychiatrists. It's always the same. This guy now was in Army PsyOps for 6 years. Clearly sheep dipped. That's exactly who they take out of the military. They're not really out. Put in deep cover inside white supremacist groups, just like Tim McVeigh at Elohim City, run by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Jesse Trinidad's brother was tortured and killed because they thought he had knowledge of it. The lawyer sued, kept suing, kept getting FOIA requests blacked out, but they blacked out one part of a document once. He sued through another court, got the same document with another part blacked out, put the two together, and it was the Southern Poverty Law Center running the entire operation. And guess who's all over this as usual? Turns out the FBI was surveilling this group. Oh, I bet they were. And by the way, it's a group. And did a cop shoot the patsy and stop him? Or was this all a setup, or was somebody else a planned patsy? It's got all the markers. I could go on for 10 hours is the problem. She got the White House saying, don't worry, there's going to be events that we're going to blame on people. Now, they don't say they're going to do it. They say there will be mass shootings and bombings, and it will help the president connect with the public. They even say it on Hardball. That's how dumb they think you are. They say this in front of you because they know they control the dominant media. It's still somewhat dominant, but not for long. And so they can push the narrative out. They can push the narrative. So I'm sitting here watching them get ready for it. Okay, the bills are being introduced. Here comes the UN treaty. It's going to start right now. I had guests on a month before this happened saying, I had the makers of a Noble Lie on saying, get ready. We all agreed, mass shootings at churches, malls, movie theaters, sports stadiums, everywhere they're going to put the TSA. And boom, it happened right as the TSA was already rolling out nationwide. I mean, you know, they're rolling out a week. On January 1st, they were rolling out in over 100 airports. So they staged the underwear bombing, put the guy on the plane. That all came out in the news. And said, oh, we've decided to put these in because of the underwear bombing, when they'd ordered the manufacturer 14, 15 months before, and they were going to be delivered the next week, so the bombing happens. It's like U.S. troops masked, 44,000 of them, with 18,000 British troops in and around Afghanistan in the month before 9/11, and Bush signed the launch order to attack Afghanistan in 7 days on September 10th. You watch it, it'd be like the Poles watching the German military line up. The Poles said, international community, stop them from attacking us. They're lining up to attack. Boom, the Germans attack their own military base and then invade Poland. I mean, I watch them build up, put out the memos, get ready, introduce the bills, stage it, and then it's always Army PSYOP and Army psychiatrist and Air Force psychiatrist, and witnesses see four shooters. The head of the Sikh group said there were men casing the joint the day before. Police driving off. Of course! They probably ran a drill. They've got undercover drills and called a cop and shot the cop, and then they probably shot the patsy in the back of the head. If I had to guess, that's how they operate. You ever seen Mark Wahlberg's movie The Shooter? You better go rent that or watch it on Netflix today, because that's exactly what they do. Okay? Exactly what they do. This guy was probably infiltrating white supremacists.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Okay, we're going to your phone calls here in just a moment on this live Tuesday worldwide transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. The criminal bankers that hijacked our country in 1913 have pretty much taken over most of the state governments and now the bureaucracy. They had a beachhead in 1913 with the private Federal Reserve and the income tax they set up. And how do they launch wars? Well, they, back then, because the media moved so slow in 1898, they just published in Hearst newspapers all over the country that the Spanish troops in Cuba had attacked U.S. troops and were killing women and children and had blown up the USS Maine. And, of course, none of that was true. It was all made up. But it was unpatriotic to say that. Besides, Hearst Publishing wouldn't engage in a lie that big. You see, once a big lie is pushed out there, when people buy into it, then they don't want to admit they've been conned. And so many bigwigs will go down that once the power structure, who isn't even really involved in the crime, goes along with the story, they now become complicit. And so now you can get them involved in anything you want after that point. That's how you corrupt someone or how you corrupt a society. And so cold-bloodedly, we have a government, and then I'm going to go to your calls, who has been caught, this current administration, shipping tens of thousands of guns and even hand grenades, rocket launchers, you name it, to Mexico to destabilize the country and to blame the Second Amendment. And all the memos came out that that was their plan. And Congress is so blackmailed, they're acting like they're going after them, but really aren't. And so the very same crew that ran Fast and Furious, the very same names, are now in command and ran Fast and Furious. The very same names were involved in Oklahoma City. And by the way, I didn't just start saying this under Fast and Furious. I made a film 10 years ago called Road to Tyranny, naming names and showing documents of who did Oklahoma City, risking my life. I've interviewed the police officers. I've interviewed the former head of Air Force Weapons Development. I've interviewed the workers in the building who saw the government agents and named them later, planting the bombs that they thought were yellow sticks of butter or gray sticks of butter. And they wondered why telephone repairmen would be doing that and stringing wires. So if you've got a group that did that and picked the building because it had a daycare center in it, and gee, they write public memos saying a terror attack to be blamed on their enemies is how they're going to get reelected. And Bill Clinton said on Air Force One to entire media in 96 that he owed his reelection to the Oklahoma City bombing. They don't even veil this stuff. This is how they get unpopular things through. This is how they get control of the population. And they've been quietly getting ready to shift over from saying that it's foreign Muslims that are the terrorists, and that's why we've got to give our rights up, shifting now over to domestic groups. And who do they say are the terrorists? Gun owners, libertarians, conservatives, returning veterans, retired police officers. Homeland Security, that is this banker occupation takeover, is saying all the veterans are bad because they have profiled them and know that down the road when stuff gets really bad and they try to implement the re-education camps and the gun confiscation, that it's going to be veterans that are going to be the group that resist. Americans who have used force before, who don't mind dying, and who are sick and tired of it. They've profiled. They know you know it's not that big of a deal to kill somebody. They know it's not taboo for you anymore. They're soldiers themselves, a lot of the globalists. They just like to kill people. You don't like to kill people. You're just willing to do it to protect your family. They hate you. They know you're willing to fight them. So they're massing drones and robots and automated weapon systems and high tech against you while recruiting a slovenly group of TSA to be their pot-bellied commanders, just like Hitler did with the brown shirts, on the ground to bully the military and others into submission. Then when they finally take it over the military and police, they're going to let you kill the brown shirts. This has all been figured out. This has all been done over and over again. They'll use the brown shirts to take over, to get rid of the old guard. Then they'll let the new military guard, who's disgusted by the pot-bellied rulers, you'll be able to take them out. See, it's all been figured out, and I don't want to get off into too sophisticated of areas. The point is, tyrants follow very specific playbooks, and the timing, the army psyop, the witnesses saying they were being cased, multiple witnesses saying four shooters, all of this fits together. Just like Oklahoma City, you've got a high-level army officer at a high level of national security, which means banker security, infiltrating a white supremacist nest over the last decade. Most of the members are FBI agents or informants, trying to target weak minds that they can provocateur into an attack. And if you can't do that, you go and say you're going to have a sting at a temple. You wind somebody up to finally go in and shoot a bunch of people. Or you have special ops, generally from a foreign country, or mercenaries do it, and you kill the patsy on the spot who typecast into the area you want. And I don't know which one it is, but within the quadrants, it's right there. It's exactly what I would expect. It's exactly what I predicted. Over and over again, you've heard me here. So I said I'd go to your phone calls. We'll go to them now. I'm sure it'll be all over the map, but that's okay. India is seeking more security, the Hindu is reporting, for their religious places in the U.S. The idea that police are going to protect you or can protect you. The answer is you should have armed security. You should pick deacons who are trusted members of your congregation, whether you're a synagogue, a mosque, a church, a Sikh church there with their Sunday school, more akin to Christianity than Hinduism or Buddhism. And I said Sunday, I said it could be a lone nut who, you know, sees guys with bright turbans and thinks it's Bin Laden and is sick of looking at it and gets mad at his wife and is destitute and wants to commit suicide by cop, so he goes over and shoots some people at a Sikh temple. That was a possibility Sunday, and we said that could be what it was, but my gut, because of the timing and the reports of four shooters, didn't say that. Then the PSYOP officer stuff came out and the police recordings and all the rest of it and the timing and the hyping of it. I mean, here's my final point, and I'm going to your calls. You better look up Operation Gladio. Much of it's been declassified. Mass shootings and bombings of movie theaters, school buses, train stations, you name it, all over Europe. It's all come out in Italian government. Their own president went public. Operation Gladio was staged to blame the Second Amendment. Period. Operation Gladio was staged to blame their Second Amendment-style systems of liberty and freedom over there, and was used to disarm them. And it was used to go after any political party they didn't like, whether it be right-wing or left-wing, that was anti-globalist and wasn't playing ball. We sell a book called Gladio, NATO's Dagger at the Heart of Europe. That's how you nudge people into doing what you want. And you better look into it, you better find out, because Operation Gladio Part 2 is being implemented inside the United States. It started at the end of World War II. NATO put in countries they thought were going to be overrun by the Soviets. The bankers knew they were. They were funding the Soviets as a clash of civilizations, to be able to be sleeper cells to engage in sabotage. They were really used to stage terror attacks to blame their enemies, because frame-ups are the number one way to be able to go after your enemies. I mean, it's very simple. No amount of regular propaganda can be as effective as staging a shooting or bombing and blaming your enemy. You drug up the patsy or you kill them on the spot. These are all the telltale signs. All right, I'm done ranting. We'll go to your calls till 8 after, then we have a guest joining us. Eli in Virginia, thanks for holding. You're on the air on this Tuesday transmission. Go ahead.
Sir, it's an honor and a privilege to talk to you. I just wanted to say I agree with you 100%. I mean, this is clearly an inside job. I'm actually a former police officer. I'm 24. I work for the Commonwealth of Virginia as a police officer, and I've been in the meeting where they say domestic terrorists are people who quote the Bible or question an officer's authority under the Constitution or vote for Ron Paul. I've been in those briefings, and I got out of the career and trying to make it on my own now, support my family, but I'm with you 100%, Alex. I mean, this is so clearly what's going on. What frustrates me so much is you see people responding exactly the way the government wants. They say, I've been reading on the comments, on the news articles about the shooting, they say, oh yeah, we've spent billions overseas trying to stop terrorism, but what about domestic terrorism? We need to give gun control a good look. We need to stop these domestic terrorists. Well, I can tell you what the cops think domestic terrorism is. They think it's white supremacists, Nazi groups, Christians, and Ron Paul voters. That's what the police officers think. And,
well, that's what they're certainly trying to teach them. It's actually backfired, as a lot of police have looked into who they're being told the terrorists are. But look, the foreign banks have openly announced they've conquered the U.S., and now they want to go after the opposition that understands what's happening. But were the other police officers where you were in Virginia, were they buying this? Because, I mean, I don't just have to believe you. I have the training manuals. If you're a new listener out there, folks, we have the training videos where they say the founding fathers are bad, freedom is bad, conservatives are bad, returning veterans are the terrorist. And so Homeland Security keeps saying this is about to happen. The new enemy is the American people. This is how they flip the script on us. I mean, how many of the police officers that you were around bought into this brainwashing?
Actually, quite a lot. I mean, it's what's being pushed, you know, Homeland Security. I mean, when you got FEMA and your fusion centers telling you this stuff, and it's, you know, intel and law enforcement sensitive only, you know, they kind of go in a club, you know, it's like a secret group.
And exactly. It's like little, it's like 7-year-olds being invited up by the 10-year-olds into the clubhouse just so they can have you, you know, do stupid stuff. That's all this is, and none of it's real intel. It's all this regurgitated Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL. ADL is basically Mossad propaganda that is fed to the police. It is so pathetic.
And it just keeps all the populace just living their normalcy bias and Stockholm syndrome, just happy to have the government caring for them. But just one more thing, Alex, and I'll get off. I know you're a busy man. I know you said that you need somebody in Virginia as a reporter. I'm right outside of D.C., and I know you probably get everybody telling you this, but it would be an honor and a privilege to work for you. I've got a paralegal certification. I quit my job in a heartbeat to work for you. It would be a great honor. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, send your info in. Here's my problem. A, it's getting money to hire people. B, it's then managing them. I've got a great crew. The problem is I have to tell people and train them. And it's all a time issue. I almost don't want to do my show for like a month and just try to get everything set up the way I want it set up around here, because it's the frustration of always having to do 10 things. But we are in the arena, so that's what it's all about. But God bless you. I appreciate your call. Send us your information. We're trying to hire a bunch of reporters / video editors in-house. And then we do want to get next phase correspondence out there. I mean, I would just suggest you start doing your own YouTube channel, sir. Start doing your own reports. And then that's how you'd end up getting hired somewhere. Let's go ahead and talk to Michael in Oklahoma. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Michael, hey, Alex, thanks for taking my call. I got something so important to tell you about Prozac, James Holmes, and mind control. And this may go back all the way to the MKUltra experiments. I have 4 friends the other day who experimented with LSD. And they all, after about the 6-hour mark, started coming down off it, except one girl. She kept getting higher and higher and higher. And the one difference between her and all the other people is she has a prescription for Prozac, and she takes Prozac on a regular basis. And she got so high, she lost her mind, and she started attacking people. She started trying to bite our friends. She tore the house apart. I mean, she got so crazy violent.
Yeah, no. I mean, sir, that's what they did in mind control, is they do electroshock to totally confuse you, then they give you LSD, PCP, and other drugs at the same time, horse tranquilizers, so that all that's operating is your lower animal centers of your brain. And, of course, everybody you see doing these zombie attacks is on 4 or 5 drugs mixed together. And, yes, sir, the Mumbai attacks, the CIA in India, this even came out in the news at the time. I said they were clearly from the video on drugs, totally wild-eyed. They were on injectable LSD and PCP and, quote, other drugs that were synthetic, and the Indians couldn't figure out what they were. They said they were some new designer drug. They landed those guys. They'd probably been drugged up for 6 months in hospital beds, you know, with video games pumping in shooter scenarios. That's one way they do mind control. And then they just turn them loose. The boats land, you release them, and it's your party time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and you won't believe this. And, well, she got so crazy that, you know, she was biting and going. He was so afraid that his lady was going to, like, hurt herself, he called 911. And anybody tripping on LSD does not want to call the police. Well, of course, they show up. They, you know, they arrest everybody. And, you know, she has to stay the night in the hospital. And it wasn't until the next day before she finally came down, she had no recollection whatsoever of that happening at all.
Sir, if you take Xanax with alcohol, it can do that. The guy a few months ago that shot a cop for no reason in Walmart, his roommate said he would take, you know, huge dosages of Xanax and drink. I've talked to friends who've, you know, been in a car wreck, so they give them some Xanax for depression, and they drink 2 beers and don't know who they are and wake up 8 hours later in another town drooling in a parking lot. I mean, look, they've got all these wild drugs that are giving us. You're going to see this happen. But imagine what government can do with those drugs and mind control. You add electroshock to it, and then they put these audio sensors on them and just pump audio and visual in. You show somebody over 6 months, over, you know, 20 or 30 week-long drug trips, you put somebody on that stuff that long, you can totally erase who they are. And then put a gun in their hand, the rest is history.
that just so reminded me, as soon as I was listening to your weekly, nightly news show just the other night, and when you were talking about Prozac, and James Holmes was prescribed Prozac, and now he has no memory of the accident whatsoever, that just so totally reminded me of that, because all of them had a great time and was totally fine, but she was the only one that kept getting higher and higher, and then she went crazy.
Well, yeah, she had a chemical imbalance. Yeah, look, here's the deal. LSD gives you a chemical imbalance, but you add things in there, like a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, her brain just kept absorbing and absorbing and absorbing the LSD until she probably, you know, took the equivalent of 20 tabs of it or more. And that's when people jump off buildings. That's when people eat their baby. Prozac is a hallucinogen. Read the insert.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end.
My friends, if you would like to support the broadcast, you can always spread the word about the show, whether you're listening on a local AM and FM station or XM 166, or you can always listen to the free podcast after the show, where and when you want, or get the free iPhone or Droid apps that are all linked in the listen page of Infowars.com. You can also listen to the live audio streams that are there or watch the video streams that are at PrisonPlanet.tv. And don't forget, we produce a 7 days a week videos that are posted at PrisonPlanet.tv, 5 days a week, the nightly news, 6 days a week, the radio show, all at PrisonPlanet.tv, 15-day free trial at PrisonPlanet.tv, and your membership there makes this broadcast and what we're doing here every day possible. We're in a lot of trouble. The globalists are willing to do anything. They are so brazen, even though they've been caught over and over again. I mean, they got caught doing Fast and Furious because it was so big and had so many people involved. But still, the media's only covered a few areas of it. It wasn't just shipping guns, folks. It was a lot more than that. Drugs back into the U.S., weapons to drug gangs around the U.S. The people at the top of law enforcement in this country are narcotics traffickers. Big Pharma that runs this country to a great extent, they were all the companies that brought in opium and cocaine before they developed synthetic drugs. They made drugs illegal in the last 90 years because they were losing their monopoly of bringing it in legally. So they just made it illegal so that they could bring it in and make even more money in the black market. That's what's really going on here. This is a criminal takeover. That's what the New World Order is. And make no mistake, I'm not proud of this. I'm not saying, oh, you should praise me for it. I'm risking my life, though, to bring you this information. Because I understand there's no future if we don't beat these people. Let's go to Steve in Florida, then Mike, Ron, and others. Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Alex. a few weeks ago, you were interviewing David Icke, and as you were interviewing him, I was just doing some brainstorming and thinking about the globalists and how they operate. And see, the average American is basically clueless that these people are masters of deception and manipulation. They study humanity so they can get them to do what they want without them even knowing it and go along with what they want until it's too late, and then they spring the trap on them. And so I just had some thoughts I wanted to share and some insight into their psyche. These people believe they are superior to everyone in several ways. First of all, intellectually, they engage in psychological manipulation through the corporate media, false information.
They are disgusted having to look at their fellow humans and want us dead. And in all their writings, that's what they say. Yes.
Yeah. Fake images and deceptive messages. They believe they're superior emotionally. They engage in emotional agitation through fear tactics, intimidation, playing on people's passions, lust, and sentiment. And physically, they believe they're superior. They engage in psychological or physiological deterioration through the toxins they put in the food, water, air, etc. And they add to the stress of an already high-pressured society. They believe they are superior economically, so they engage in financial degradation through theft, currency devaluation, credit, inflation and taxation. Politically, they engage in tyrannical subjugation through unwarranted military force, unnecessary police brutality, unjust imprisonment, unconstitutional laws and proceedings, and unsuitable corrupt leadership. And then finally, they believe they are superior spiritually, so they engage in ecclesiastical domination through their false doctrine and teachings, their occult practices, their counterfeit churches.
Listen, I agree with you, but I gotta go. Great points. You should shoot a YouTube video with that.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're now into hour number two. We have a guest joining us who's never been on the broadcast, but I've been familiar with his work in film for about 16, 17 years. Right around the time I got on air, I became aware of the John Birch Society's videos. He's a writer. He also writes for LewRockwell.com. William Gregg's going to be joining us to talk about drones, the shooting, and a host of other issues in the next segment. We'll continue with your calls as well into the third hour and a ton of geopolitical news, Middle East news, economy news, nanny state news I haven't gotten to yet. Let's go to Mike in Oregon. Mike, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, it's great to talk to a fellow patriot.
Good to talk to you, brother.
So I've been listening to you for a while, and you've been saying that you've been putting your life on the line, and I believe it. And I wanted to take the step and do the same. And I come to you today with an idea that I think will bind all of us InfoWarriors together and launch a cataclysmic attack on the globalist agenda. And to do that, I think that if we were to take some of the money from the money bomb this year, and put that towards producing some advertisements, either in video or audio or both, on your respective stations that you broadcast on, and target the sheeple, if you will, to notify them and inform them of what's really going on. And I think, honestly, that if you were to do this, we would all be happy to give you the money to do this, to make it happen. I know I'm broke as it comes, but...
Listen, here's the deal. We reach tens of millions of people, but money-wise, I did the national ad for Stansberry Research dealing with QE3 about what's going to happen when that does finally come out. And I don't want to get into their budget, but it was a lot more than one of our money bombs would raise. I mean, a lot more every month. And you saw it on Fox, CNN, you name it. They didn't want my voice on Fox and CNN. And Stansberry had to play gutsball for about a month and not run the ads until they caved in. The establishment is that scared of me. So we've had national radio when Ted Anderson wanted me to endorse his gold company and run it on national ads. National syndicators refused to run my voice. The system is absolutely scared to death. You know, not even saying my name, my voice. They don't want out there for whatever reasons. I mean, quite frankly, it strikes fear into the globalists when I'm calm and not gibbering like a wild monkey like I usually do for whatever reason. And I think it's because I'm not afraid. You know, when I get up here and I say I'm risking my life, these really are killers. But I'm so public, they don't want to kill me probably because it would just highlight everything I've said and done. It doesn't mean I might not make one of them angry and they'll have me killed. But, I mean, I'm willing to have that happen because these people have got to be defeated. I'm trying to build my organization up to a point where I can just do a hour-long news show and have it on time every night to deploy that. God bless you, and I appreciate your call and your support, sir. Again, a lot of great ideas come from listeners. I need to be financially strong enough just to keep the employees I've got, and I've got to have some acorns buried in case we were attacked or, you know, had long droughts of no funds. As we go into this depression, I've expended much of our backup capital just to get to the point I'm at right now. So I feel the great urgency and responsibility to deploy different programs against the globalists. You know, we're going to have a franchise for InfoWars newspaper that's going to come out monthly. And that's the best thing in the free market, is to have people that are already printers or already have newspapers to put out one of these in their area, because they're going to try to shut the web down. And as print dies, there'll be a vacuum we can fill, what I call print 2.0. So I got a lot of other plans.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you again for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, as we wage war on corruption and crash through the lies and disinformation. I am Alex Jones, your host. The websites are Infowars.com, and we're also streaming video at PrisonPlanet.tv. We also have PrisonPlanet.com, not just PrisonPlanet.tv. In the next hour, we're joined by William N. Gregg. WillGregg.com is his website. He writes for the New American Magazine. He's produced quite a few excellent films that I'm a big fan of, The Information. He's also an author. He wrote America's Engineered Decline for the John Birch Society. It's an excellent book. I've read it myself. And I wanted to get him on when he talked about the cowardice of drones. I saw an article he wrote last week and how it's converting everything over to these faceless killers, and it's pure dehumanization. You know, people are worried about unions taking their jobs or vice versa, and we're all taught to compete with each other. What about computers, robots, war making? Because this is where everything's going. It won't be humans under the sea. They're now admitting for decades they've had robot vessels on the water and under the water, submarines, in space, in the air, and on the ground. And these can follow the orders of a tiny technocratic elite. Notice the banksters that have hijacked Europe through insider crony fraud and monopoly scams. They call themselves technocrats. So this is the big issue. We'll get to that at the bottom of the hour. But I want to cover some other issues, because we started seeking to get Mr. Gregg on last week. The shooting hadn't happened Sunday. And I noticed for LouRockwell.com and for his own site, he wrote an excellent article about how the Sikhs are constantly getting shot, beat up by police, because people see the bright turban. Most Muslims don't actually wear that. And by the way, Sikhs are not Muslims. They tend to get a lot of fights with Muslims over in India. But the point is that it's a different group completely. But people see the beard. They see the religious headgear, and it's over. They die. Those famous cases of cops beating the daylights out of them for no reason, just because you see somebody with the striking beard and the bright turban, it's clobbering time. And so he wrote an article about that. But I have to say this. In the aftermath of the shooting, I'll ask him a hard question and put him on the spot right out of the gates here. If we have criminal elements of our government, and anybody can just type in secret testing on U.S. troops, lethal testing on U.S. troops, lethal testing on foster children, irradiation of foster children, thousands of U.S. foster children, the Department of Energy admits, were radiated to death in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. 110,000 Israeli children were radiated, many of them to death, and the ringworm children. Department of Energy paid Israel to kill their own people. And that's on Israeli TV. Just type it into YouTube. You'll see the TV shows about it. I mean, we're talking about frying kids' brains. The ones that were lucky died right away. Some are still alive today, mentally retarded, no hair, 50 years old. This is the type of stuff that goes on. And so if they would do that, shoot black men up with syphilis, all the rest of it, the UN's been caught giving foster children just last year live polio. It's all on purpose, folks. And that's just a minor footnote. Oh, 67,000 kids got paralyzed. It's no big deal. 2011, UN program. Why wouldn't they stage a shooting? I mean, if they stage Fast and Furious and ship guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment, that killed thousands conservatively in Mexico, hundreds here in the U.S., including three police officers, one on the Border Patrol. Some say six. We can prove three. I mean, we all know Oklahoma City had government fingerprints, the very same crew that's in power today. So I'm going to bring that up to you and then just get into the shooting itself. Look at how they're hyping it. Look at all the draconian gun bills they've got right now. Look at how the guy was in Army Psychological Operations and then suddenly becomes a white supremacist, just like Elohim City, and just how the feds ran that in 95. So there's the big question for William Gregg. Will, good to have you here with us on the show. Am I out of line? If governments have been caught staging events like Gulf of Tonkin, Ajax, Gladio, our own government, am I out of line with the opportune timing of this and the witnesses saying they saw four men with guns shooting people and the head of the Sikh community, the president of the group, saying there were men casing the joint before? I mean, or should I just believe one guy who happens to be dead, he did it and he's an evil, evil white guy, so now we need the war on terror to be shifted onto conservative white guys?
Alex, I think what you're describing is well within the compass of the official cynicism of the government that presumes to rule us. It's a question of ability and not disposition when you're talking about a hypothetical scenario involving state shootings or atrocities of this kind, because, as you correctly point out, there have been many instances of false flag terrorist attacks and similar atrocities that have been perpetrated in the past for reasons of tuning the public atmosphere for a proposed policy change that requires the dislocation of comfortable assumptions, the sudden violent shock that can create a new consensus. And to that list that you mentioned of these horrible experiments involving the infection of people with various diseases or other types of assaults on their persons, you can add what happened in Guatemala just after World War II. There was a eugenicist program that just became a matter of public record just a couple of years ago. And it's no secret that this technocratic elite that you describe exercises what it considers to be a proprietary claim on the rest of us. They consider us to be their subjects, not only in terms of what we generate, what we earn through our exertions and our industry, but also with respect to our physical person, which explains, among other things, the Obamacare monstrosity. They really don't recognize any limit to the power that they presume to exercise over any of us. So when you're dealing with somebody who comes from the background that Mr. Page apparently did, and you have an incident of this sort that has an uncomfortable congruence to the scenarios that have been pitched by the DHS for a number of years, actually going back before the Obama administration into the Clinton administration, you saw scenarios of this kind being peddled by what was then sort of the NCOA Department of Homeland Security, the FBI in particular, with its Project Megadove report in 1999-2000. They've been tuning the atmosphere for the better part of two decades now to anticipate this advent of so-called lone wolf terrorism that would implicate the social cohort they call the radical right. So when things like this happen, and once again you have to take into account what the FBI has been doing for the last 10 years in terms of staging little melodramas, Homeland Security theater, false flag terrorist plots involving Muslims, in which you have people that the federal government refers to as terrorism facilitators. That's actually in the legal documents. They refer to certain people employed by the FBI as terrorism facilitators. We have instance after instance in which the Muslims have been manipulated this way. It shouldn't surprise us at all if we find out that at least some of these episodes, some of these incidents, bear the same fingerprints and have been orchestrated for the same purposes, particularly, as you point out, in light of the drive, the accelerating drive for civilian disarmament.
Exactly. They've staged up before. They stand to gain from it. It has all the telltale signs. We would be naive to not look at this as being at least provocateured, and the evidence, I believe, points towards completely staged with the timing and all the rest of it with the Southern Poverty Law Center fluttering around.
Sure, and the television ad that was playing on Sunday, capitalizing on what had happened in Aurora and then what had happened in Tucson back in 2011. Once again, I talk about the idea that there's a certain harmony, a certain convergence of events here that drive us in a certain direction. And there are people who do, to the best of their ability, and their ability I think is rather formidable, try to script large-scale events of this sort or to capitalize on things that happen that are compatible with their agenda. If you're dealing in the person of Mr. Page with somebody who simply went off on a bender after being trained to kill people. He's a disgruntled former federal employee. That's his most important affiliation here. Everything else is speculative. We do know that this guy, like Timothy McVeigh, like the other people who surrounded McVeigh, the others unknown, who've conveniently been ushered off the stage, these people were federal employees or former federal employees.
Take the Joker killer. All federal grants, special Air Force psychiatrist assigned just to him, people reporting multiple shooters. But that doesn't, again, it's always people on government payroll or PSYOP chiefs or sheep-dipped Pentagon folks like McVeigh that do this.
Or in the case of the accused Aurora shooter, once again, you got the connection to DARPA, which is very much the past masters of manipulating both technology and psychology. To bring about certain...
Exactly. It's always the same M.O.
Complex, yeah.
It's always the same M.O. It's always the same timing. That said, then, shifting away from that, bottom line, giving our liberties up isn't going to protect us from nuts. The answer is more guns to protect ourselves, and that's how the American people are responding. We're about to go to break, but, Will, where would you say the state of the New World Order is right now? Are things going well for them or badly?
I think in terms of what they achieve or what they seek to achieve with respect to the consolidation of financial and political power and also military power, things are going very well for them as they go increasingly poorly for us. We live in a relationship of inversion with the people who presume to rule us. They're, when you're talking about particularly the financial element of this elite, they're giddily buying up most of the afflicted farmland in the United States, positioning themselves to act in the same way that the much denigrated preppers and survivalists behave. The difference is they're able to do it with entire huge tracts of farmland as opposed to having food storage. They can simply buy the farms. And the same thing is happening in South America. They've been behaving this way since 2008. Many of the people who, for public consumption, assail preppers and survivalists, the people in hedge funds and such like, are doing the same thing on a massive, monumentally larger scale. That's something that is to their advantage. It's to their advantage that they're able to manipulate public opinion through the use of events of this sort, whether staged or incidental. And, of course, it's to their advantage that we have wars and rumors of wars propagating overseas. War, of course, is something that's very conducive to molding the public mind into a fashion where people are receptive to the idea of surrendering their liberties and surrendering their individuality in the service of something supposedly larger than themselves. So as things go poorly for us, and increasingly poorly, things go increasingly better for our self-appointed rulers.
That's right. Killing is their business. Business is good. Exactly. William Gregg is our guest. We're going to come back and get into the Sikh angle of this. Then we're going to cover drones. Stay with us. Will die for the system. William Gregg is our guest. He writes for LouRockwell.com, New American Magazine. And, of course, we also post his fine work at Infowars.com. You can find his books and videos that are extremely powerful, like Global Gun Grab. He's got that on the whole gun grab at his website, WillGregg.com. Going back in the short segment we have, next long segment, we're going to get into drones and, well, really the end of humanity. That's what Bill Joy, 12 years ago, called it in Wired Magazine. He called it Why the Future Doesn't Need Us. We're going to be breaking that down. But I noticed you wrote a story, I guess it was yesterday, breaking down the fact that Sikhs, and up front Sunday, I said this could have been some lunatic because there's such, you know, Islamophobia where people I talk to think Muslims, you know, every Muslim wants to kill you out there, while Western governments bring them in at record numbers to create that clash of civilizations. It's all a divide and conquer mechanism. But the fact that the Sikhs, are wearing that archetypal dress that almost no Muslims wear, because it is a Central Asian dress, you know, really a medieval dress. And when cops or anybody sees these, it's almost like a bass fish seeing a big lure go through the water. They just go crazy. And you broke down some cases of the amazing abuse the Sikhs have put up with.
The one case that I thought was so striking happened in Joliet, Illinois, about 5 years ago, March 11th of 2007. There's a fellow, and I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce his name, who is a Gulf War veteran, His name is Kuldip Singh Nag. He had served in the first Gulf War. He had a Bronze Star for serving in the military. And for some reason, over the couple of years that he lived in this residential neighborhood there in Illinois, Mr. Nag and his family had attracted the ire of some of their neighbors who quite possibly were acting on the perception that they were dealing with interlopers from the Arab world. They had incidents of vandalism where their garage was defaced and a couple of times somebody fired a BB gun into their property. At some point in early 2007, somebody filed an anonymous complaint that Mr. Nag had an inoperable van on his property. And under a municipal ordinance there in Joliet, apparently it was required that he register this vehicle in spite of the fact that it was inoperable and on his own property. So in the morning of March 11th, a police officer showed up. The police officer's name was Ben Grant, who knocked on the door and announced that he was going to tow away the van. And this is the first time that the Nag family had been informed that there was a problem. According to the municipal ordinance, they should have received at least one notice, but they never did, that they needed to register the van. And so Mr. Nag got upset. Within a few seconds, he was being beaten by Officer Grant. And out of Mr. Grant's tax-fattened mouth came the familiar string of profanities. "You blank, blank Arab, get out of my country or I'm going to kill you," as he beat this man with the baton and threw him face down and handcuffed him, and called in a report that he had been assaulted by Mr. Nag. And he was eventually convicted of aggravated assault, and his assault consisted of desperately throwing his arms up to try to ward off these completely unprovoked blows by a police baton. Apparently, impeding the cranium-bound trajectory of a police baton constitutes aggravated assault.
No, courts have ruled that, so yeah. You're going to let somebody attack you with a deadly weapon for no reason.
Exactly.
See, I wouldn't be able to control myself. I'm not, I just can't handle the image of these bullies when somebody's down, kicking them in the face, and if you cover your face, they charge you. It's just an incredible crime.
Yeah, for instance, I've seen people literally be charged with assaulting an officer for bleeding on the fists that are beating them. And that's part of what I call the martial law mindset, the idea that we have an unqualified duty to render immediate, unconditional submission to anybody in a government-issued costume who orders us to do something. In a free society that's worthy of that description, nobody who's a government employee would be able to exercise that supposed authority over...
Well, let's be honest. They're getting rid of the private property and the free speech next. There's really nothing left but the Second Amendment. We're not a free country anymore. We've been conquered by criminal elements, and they've trained and hyped up the system to love evil.
That's apparently what's happening. I can't disagree with that assessment as much as it pains me to admit it. I do think that one of the reasons we're seeing such a drive right now to promote civilian disarmament is the idea that within a couple of years, the powers that be are going to be dealing with full-spectrum operations in the homeland, which is the name of an essay from Small Wars Journal that just came out within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, let's pull that up. In fact, I saw that. Give us that title again.
Full-spectrum operations in the homeland, a vision of the future. It's in the Small Wars Journal. And the authors are Kevin Benson, who's a retired colonel.
Yeah, stay there. We're going to come back with that. That leads into drones straight ahead.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right and wrong. A new world order.
All right, we have done countless reports on this. We have had many guests on breaking it down, but now it's here. About 12 years ago, I began to read public Pentagon documents where they said there won't be any astronauts, there won't be any submariners, there won't be anybody on ships unless it's in repair. There won't be any submarines, as I said. There won't be any men in aircraft, or women for that matter. We're all fighting women in the Air Force. You know, women in combat roles. It's all a done issue. It's all over. the globalists who think of us as animals, that think of us as human resources to be used, they have made the decision to get humans out of all the decision-making processes. When they made workers work more than 18 hours a day with almost no pay, working their fingers to the bloody bone because Al Gore is so greedy at Apple that they had the worst working conditions basically in China because he's, you know, on the board making the decisions because he's so liberal, so trendy, and so loving, and so good. When that happened, they said, you know what, instead of putting up suicide nets, get rid of the people, bring in robots. And it's one thing if a corporation replaces humans with robots and then have robots making the robots, which they advertise on television. These big corporations are bragging that soon there'll be no humans involved anywhere from mining the material all the way to delivering the product. Google cars are getting authorized for the road, all of it. But here's the problem. They're already saying that the cars are safer than humans and so that humans won't be allowed to drive soon. They're already designing the cars with cameras hooked into the police that watch you because a child might get left in the car and die, so the police have to watch you. They're already admitting your laptop is watching you. It's beyond 1984, and so humans are allowing the technological controllers, the technocrats as they call themselves, to take our tax money and our inventions and our ingenuity and wall us out of society. And that's why Bill Joy, back in 2000, what was it, the April issue of Wired Magazine, wrote, "Why the Future Doesn't Need Us." You can pull it up, it's online. And he said, yeah, I recently went and had dinner with 200, you know, company owners. He was the owner of Sun Microsystems. And we had a debate. Do we kill everybody or do we allow some to live, but just let them play games online? And basically it's like the people you see in WALL-E that are on the big cruise ship and can't walk without the aid of robots. There's either that future. This is what the elite are saying. Or they call themselves the elite, the alpha predators. There's either that future where we're these waddling creatures, or there's just get rid of us all. And Dick Cheney wrote in the September 20th, 2000 document, he just said, create race-specific bioweapons and we'll start wiping out certain races of people. And he said, we need to have the media legitimize its use. Only one newspaper wrote an article saying it was bad. Strangely enough, it was the Austin American Statesman. That's a terrible globalist publication. But maybe that even got to them. So here's the deal, folks. I'm not worried if my hair is falling out. I'm not worried if I got a blemish on my nose. I'm not worried what my neighbors think about me. Most people are caught and paralyzed in this trendiness where it's just all about their own ego. Folks, we've got eugenicists, neo-feudal fascists who were anti-free market, anti-family, who, by the way, happen to be a cultist on top of it. I didn't even cover that issue 17 years ago, but the research kept running into that, who are basically megalomaniacs. You heard about Nero, Stalin, Hitler, Montezuma. You know, crazy people get in and do horrible things. Now they are announcing, oh, we guess what? We did have space planes that were robot in space. Oh, guess what? The Air Force will completely convert to drones. Oh, guess what? We are going to have the entire submarine fleet be robot. Oh, guess what? We do have combat robots. We didn't want to show them to you because they're scary looking, but have you seen Terminator? See, things like Terminator, that's not life imitating art now with Skynet. That's art imitating life. When you read about the Matrix, and I'm not saying they'll ever be able to do all this. This is what they're theorizing. There's a DARPA document from 1978, or is it 76? I'm going from memory. It's in my book. It's out of print and sent to tyranny, but it's online at prisonplanet.tv. Then we're going to our guest. This is some background knowledge here. Problem is I can't start talking about this and then shut up. We're going to go to him. And I apologize that I'm ranting. And they say in there, well, we'll just, for everyone's safety, we'll just wire into everybody's brain, give them unlimited pleasure, give them a virtual reality to live in, and it's moral as long as they're not in pain, and we'll put you in a tank, and the heat from your own body will be used to power the electronics. You may have seen that in a 1999 film called The Matrix. Yeah, that movie didn't think of any of that. This is what DARPA is thinking of. And by the way, they implement most of what they end up really pushing for. Our society is a DARPA world. Let's go back to author, researcher, filmmaker, Will Gregg, willgregg.com. Gregg is G-R-I-G-G.com. Excellent site. Recommend folks check that out. Will, you've heard my little five-minute rant here. They're now making the announcement, and you've written some excellent articles breaking down how sexy it is. They're getting you know, battle stars for sitting there in their air conditioning, and it's manly to kill a couple hundred people if you get one guy, no judge, no jury. It's always, of course, violates the Geneva Convention, our own rules. But now they're saying the drones will be here, and you were getting into that document, full spectrum dominance here in und homeland.
Yes, full spectrum operations in the homeland, the vision of the future. And when they're talking about full spectrum, of course, that entails the use of all the technology that's been deployed in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Somalia and Yemen and points unknown, including the use of unmanned aerial vehicles or drones that would be used to conduct surveillance and also to conduct kill missions. And we already have two precedents, at least two, there are probably more, but two very important ones involving the summary execution of U.S. citizens on presidential orders by way of a drone-fired missile. The first was Anwar al-Awlaki, who was accused but never formally charged with various crimes of subversion and sedition and such like. He was executed by a drone-fired missile in the country of Yemen on the specific explicit orders of Barack Obama, who told his underlings, "I want Anwar al-Awlaki." And then a couple.
And by the way, they say that to make it sound like he's James Bond. We don't even know if any of that's true, and his family got killed reportedly, because Fox News did report he was really meeting with the Secretary of the Army when he was on the most wanted list and was a high-level agent. So that was probably just them publicly retiring one of their assets. And they may have actually killed him. They're so traitorous to their own operatives.
That's true. I mean, we have to consider, once again, the inexhaustible cynicism of the people we're dealing with. But we do know that a couple of weeks later, there was another drone strike on the 16-year-old son of Mr. al-Awlaki, who had apparently gone to Yemen searching for his father, who had been publicly named as somebody on a kill list. So they've established the precedent here by making the claim and exercising the supposed authority to bring about the summary execution of U.S. citizens by way of drone-fired missiles. And, of course, this year we see that surveillance drones for domestic law enforcement applications are becoming a more and more commonplace thing. They've been in the pipeline, as you point out, Alex, for many years. There have been a couple of instances where there have been sheriff's departments who have publicly denied that they have received Homeland Security grants or Pentagon grants to obtain drones, but they have nonetheless obtained them. There was a leak a couple of months ago describing the FAA's licensing permits for the operation of domestic drones in various places in the United States. The number of people who were surprised to find out that their local police department, the local sheriff's department, has been put on that list, and they're getting prepared now to upgrade their services to include these devices. And we have, just last week, a court ruling authorizing or vindicating after the fact the use of two drones operated by the Department of Homeland Security to help conduct the arrest of the sons of a farmer by the name of Brossard in North Dakota. He'd been arrested the day before by the local sheriff's office, with whom he'd had some trouble over the course of a number of years. There's a troubled sheriff's department here. Mr. Brossard and his family are farmers. They'd had disputes with their neighbors, and in this particular instance, they were involved in a dispute over wandering cattle.
The media spun as rustling, and so now the sheriff's department called in Homeland Security and the Air Force with air support, and that's what they're now announcing. I've talked to police, but it's also in the documents. You mentioned that full-spectrum dominance report. I was just showing it on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. It's got Army entering our houses. It covers everything they're going to do to us.
Exactly.
The loving gun confiscation, everything. Go ahead.
Well, all these things have been done overseas by the U.S. military in the course of what is called Operations Other Than War, OOTW, OTWA, Operations Other Than War, in which you have police officers acting as reservists and National Guard operatives, National Guard soldiers, sent overseas as part of military operations where they behave as police officers in countries such as Afghanistan or Haiti, Somalia, you know the list. And then once they've developed this ability, they come back and they start doing the same things domestically. One of the things that I find quite fascinating is that if you take a look at military deployments in the 1990s during the first Bush administration and during the Clinton administration, you have episodes of what is called in the literature micro-disarmament. Micro-disarmament is, as you say, Alex, the confiscation of firearms using gun registry lists. This happened in Haiti, for instance. In Haiti, you could own just about any firearm or explosive device you wanted as long as you registered with the local constabulary. Once the name and the firearms or explosives were in the registry, the United States military, which invaded in, I believe, 1994, if memory serves, in order to reinstall Aristide, who was a not particularly desirable ruler, had been thrown out of the country by a military junta, acting on the supposed authority of a UN Security Council resolution, the U.S. military invaded Haiti and reinstalled Aristide at bayonet point, and part of this involved disarming anybody who could put up a fuss to fight back against this fellow, this deranged Marxist ruler. And so they went door-to-door collecting firearms using gun registration lists. This is called micro-disarmament, as are gun buybacks and turn-in programs. We have those happening all throughout the United States every single year.
And they have gun buyback to create the news images of people lined up turning guns in to create the perception that guns are bad, they're the police,
exactly,
to acclimate. But again, as you just pointed out, the U.S. military are masters of gun disarmament of the general public, as they call it, micro-disarmament. And the new U.N. treaty, you made a film on this, breaks down in Article 15. They're right there saying that states will aid other states and the U.N. in micro-disarmament, and they admit that that's their plan. I mean, it's just incredible that we're this far down the line, and now they want to use the drones. You know, please continue, but I want to get back into the drones. Do you see the same path that I see us going down, where the system is now going to autonomous drones, where it's not even these heroes in the air conditioning killing people, to where the technocrats literally have armies of their own combat mechs?
This is in the literature, as you point out. They aspire to do this. Whether their ability will match their aspirations, I can't tell you, but they certainly have envisioned a scenario in which you'd have this Skynet type of vertically integrated and thoroughly mechanized system, or, to use the Battlestar Galactica idiom, it'd be a little bit like the Cylons, where you have fully mechanized and independently, autonomously functioning mechanisms of death that are involved in routine punitive strikes, and which carry out programs intended to spare the exposure of military personnel to the dangers that would be involved in actually carrying out these missions. I mean, obviously, cyber war, that's long-distance war involving drone strikes right now, is a generous step along that direction. And I want to make a point here that really the most dangerous drone is the one that is operating the joystick and not the one operated by the joystick. The drone being the human drone who sits in one of these air-conditioned offices in Nevada or Virginia.
Yeah, you quoted some of them from the New York Times where they were just like, I do not think about who I'm killing. I do what I am told. They are bad. They are converting this. It's the exact same nomenclature against us.
Exactly. The idea of full-spectrum dominance means that there is literally no security that one can find against the aspirations of those who want to assert the dominance. We're completely deprived of any means of resisting anything that our masters want to inflict upon us. And that's a term of art that started to come into the literature about 15 or 16 years ago. Now they're talking about it not only in terms of operations other than war overseas, but here domestically. Obviously, if you have a situation where these things are being carried out by soulless machines operated by people who have surrendered their souls, who are inaccessible, then by definition, they are invulnerable. They're completely beyond any kind of retaliatory action. That's the type of a system that they really want to create.
And that's what full-spectrum dominance is. So then we have to look at the ruling controllers and what's their mindset. Absolutely vicious, arrogant scum who hate the family, who hate God. And when you study the globalists, these are absolute power-mad materialists like Marx or Lenin or Engels. Do you agree with that statement?
I don't think that that's an exaggeration. They might not necessarily be doctrinally committed to the teachings of Marx or Engels, but they certainly behave in a Leninist fashion. Vladimir Lenin defined his philosophy of government as power without limit resting directly on force and absolutely unimpeded by laws. And whether you're talking about people who've studied the Marxist economic gibberish, in terms of the way that they organize power and exercise it, they're definitely Leninist in practice. And that's not something that's confined to one or the other of the two branches of the incumbent party that we divide artificially into Republicans and Democrats. This is something that is shared pretty much by the entire ruling elite, not only politically, but academically and economically and so forth. I think it's worthwhile to point out that the aggressive dehumanization of those targeted by this system is something that has made a few robots out of the people who are operating the joysticks. I've referred in an earlier article to a document that came out in 2002 in anticipation of the second Gulf War. There was a computer program called Bug Splat, which referred to incidental casualties of civilians in a targeted area. And it was an algorithm that was supposed to calculate the number, at least the percentage of people who would be wiped out if, for instance, a 5,000-pound bomb were lobbed into a residential neighborhood in Baghdad. And they calculated an acceptable percentage of bug splat in a given operation. Now, Tommy Franks, who reviewed this, signed off on all 22 of these operations that involved a high level of what was called bug splat. And to that idiom was added another expression, squirters, which referred to people who were observed through the surveillance technology of these drones, who were injured or wounded or trying to flee. These are the type of terms that are used to create this moral distance between those.
Well, it makes it fun. It makes it fun. Yeah. But the guys sitting there doing this, they're drinking sodium fluoride water, and they wonder why at home, you know, their son is mentally retarded because they've been hit as well. William Gregg is our guest here. We're going to get to your phone calls and a bunch of other news. Geithner and new scandals. We've got Petraeus lined up to be VP. You know, that's what last year Steve Pachinik said. Talk about a big insider. We got to get Dr. Pachinik back on the show. But Obama is leaking that they're looking at Petraeus to be the VP with Romney. So we're going to be discussing that coming up as well. He sounds like a great guy for president. I mean, he laughs at the CIA, spies on us illegally through our appliances in public, admits to felonies. So why not have the general slash CIA director as the vice president? There's just no end to this. And it's all how they're patriots. No, they're getting rid of our old republic, okay? Because it isn't compatible with their scientific tyranny. And humans have to take control of our development. We have to decide that we're decision makers and that we understand what's happening in the architecture in our society. We cannot just go quietly into the night because these globalists are eugenicists. You know, you make the point that we're being turned into these biological androids, and you're absolutely right. Why do you need to have combat robots? Well, you can just brainwash people with sleep deprivation and a feeling of elite esprit de corps after they've gone through that ritual to then be willing to do anything to not buck the peer pressure and to go out and wage war against your own people. I mean, if folks think we're decadent now, Will, where do you see us going in the future?
I think it's important to recognize that everything they do in terms of refining the machinery of oppression here is designed to bring about changes in us, assuming that there will be some of us who will be privileged to remain rather than being summarily liquidated. And I think that the people who presume to rule us want to keep at least enough of us around in order to provide the raw material upon which they will subsist. And so the takers, the parasites, can't outright kill the hosts, you know, the people who are productive. And I think that the most ominous changes we're talking about here don't have to do necessarily with the technology involved. Once again, it has to do with what goes on between the ears of the people who are part of this system. And the militarization of the mindset of law enforcement specifically is something that I find quite remarkable. This is what's been going on now for about 40 years when the U.S. government decided to start declaring war on the possession or the use of narcotics or to declare war on terrorism, as happened just a decade or so ago. When the government puts itself on a war footing domestically, obviously it's talking about creating a battle zone out of the United States. And that's an expression we find in this article from Small Wars Journal. The battle zone would be domestic. And this is, once again, not a new development. In this book I wrote that you mentioned, Global Gun Grab, there's a chapter in here called Militarizing Mayberry that talks about the way that law enforcement and the military have been blended and conjoined. And you have the Pentagon supplying material, arms, and all kinds of training to every police department of any significant size in the country. I live across the Snake River from a little town called Ontario, Oregon. It's about 12,000 people. They have a SWAT team that trains here in Idaho with people who are from the special forces, teach them how to militarize every encounter between law enforcement and civilians. And we shouldn't be called civilians, by the way. The police or the peace officers should be civilians as well. In Aurora, Colorado, a few weeks before the shooting, there was a bank robbery where the police simply shut down an entire block and arrested everybody in sight, creating, if you will, sort of a microcosmic martial law setting. They arrested everybody so they could search their cars. They handcuffed them, and then they asked permission to search their cars. There's somebody handcuffed who could resist that offer. And then in Colorado Springs, which is just a few miles away, it might be a couple of dozen miles away from Aurora, you have police wearing SWAT regalia as they're carrying out their routine duties. If you're stopped for a speeding infraction.
Yeah, that place is a beta test. That's why they staged it there. It's under their control. So. Yeah, they did it. The whole deal. They're a bunch of terrorists. And by the way, folks, they're doing all this so they can take your private property.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, is a final segment with William Gregg. Very insightful interview today. And then we're going to come back from break, go to your phone calls, and then get into all the other news I haven't covered. And boy, that's a lot. Here on this Tuesday, worldwide transmission. Will, I've been asking the questions here. In the 5 minutes we've got left on your considerable plate, what else is front and center? What else would you like to impart to our worldwide audience of freedom lovers?
I think it's worth reviewing our assumptions about how society should provide for security. If we're going to have a free and reasonably prosperous society, security has to be something for which the individual takes responsibility. And we have to start uprooting some of the bad assumptions that have been embedded in the system of politics under which we live. The first is that the government should have a monopoly on the use of force. Say what you will about the constitutional republic we were given. One of the really interesting things that distinguishes it from any other system of government is that it explicitly repudiated the idea that government should have a monopoly on the use of force. That's what the Second Amendment is about. People get into arguments about the minutiae of the Second Amendment or the applications thereof. What they don't recognize is that by explicitly recognizing the individual right to armed self-defense, that document repudiates the idea that government has a monopoly on the use of force. Yet every political science class in this country is going to teach that concept, and that's a Leninist concept, not a Madisonian one. If the government doesn't have a monopoly on the use of force, it stands to reason that the government cannot use force that the individual is forbidden to use, and that leads us to the non-aggression principle. I have no right to commit aggression against anybody else, and I have, of course, the reciprocal right not to expect to be aggressed against. And it doesn't matter whether the aggression is committed by some tattooed gangbanger who's part of a private mob or some tattooed gangbanger who wears a government-issued costume. If it's aggressive violence, it's wrong. And I would hope that what's happening in places like Fullerton, California, where there is serious consideration being given now to disbanding a police department that is murderous, I would hope that that would start to propagate itself across the country. I've helped in some very, very small way to bring about the disbanding of a couple of police departments. There's one in Covington, Texas, that was being run by a police chief who was the local drug lord. That's certainly not an uncommon thing, owing to what goes on in the name of the war on drugs. And what's happening is the pressures of the financial collapse are becoming more acute, is that a lot of municipalities are learning that they can't afford to spend the money that's been set aside in these unfunded pensions for police chiefs who can pull down $200,000 after working for 18 months.
I saw a police chief in a small town in California getting like 700 G's a year.
Yeah, that's not uncommon. And what's going on in places like Stockton or North Las Vegas, where 67% of their budget is on so-called public safety and public security, you have these unionized police forces that are...
Well, that's it. I mean, we're being held hostage by the security bureaucracy. That happens in every other third world country. Yes. And they're going to kill the golden goose if this doesn't get reversed.
Yeah, and there's getting to be some pushback. aspect here, which is why I think we're hearing discussions of the idea of full-spectrum operations in the homeland. And this scenario sketched out in the Small Wars Journal talks about a small town in South Carolina becoming an American Fallujah, where you'd have to have the Department of Homeland Security and the Pentagon essentially turn the town into a free-fire zone if people don't submit to what this document calls the constitutional legitimacy of the federal government. And that, once again, assumes that the government is somehow the source of its own legitimacy.
All right, William, let me stop you. I hadn't read the whole document. I saw it a few weeks ago, I think, because you'd written about it. Excuse me? I mean, you're a respected journalist for the New American Magazine for, I don't know, decades. I hadn't read that. You're saying that full-spectrum dominance in the homeland document talks about occupying and taking out American citizens in a city.
In a city, in a small city called Darlington, South Carolina.
That's tell you what, pull that up. Can you do five more minutes on the other side?
Yes, I can.
All right, pull that up. I want to break this here on the air when we come back. We've gotten the re-education camp document. We've gotten the secret arrest document, the secret kill document. Now the gun confiscation document, and now come into the city and kill all of us like Fallujah. Unbelievable. We'll be back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're continuing to talk with New American Magazine writer, filmmaker, author. He also writes for Lou Rockwell, lourockwell.com. I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. And constantly, new Army documents are put out public on the Army's own website. Re-education camps for the American people, national gun confiscation drills, demonization on the founding fathers, veterans. They teach the military this now. Just incredible treason now that foreign banks have bragged on national television and in print that they've captured us and are now going to mop up the freedoms we had. Private property, all of it. It's gone if they have their way. And we were about to let Will Gregg go, and he started bringing up this full-spectrum dominance in the homeland Pentagon document that we found. And I found sites that write about the Pentagon. And we'll put one of them up here. Small Wars Journal has quotes out of the full compendium where it talks about areas of South Carolina. And we're going to go over this. And it says a Tea Party group takes over the town. So the military takes over radio, TV, water, and energy. I've told you they'll always do that. They turn that off till the town submits, and they call it reinstalling the elected government. They mean those that are engaged in election fraud. And this is what the John Warner Defense Authorization Act dealt with, was taking over legislatures. Remember what they said last year when Texas unanimously in the House said, no more groping, no more grabbing our genitals inside the pants. We're going to enforce existing laws. The feds said, we're preparing an F-16 air embargo. No aircraft will be allowed to enter the state or take off. How's an F-16 enforce that? They're going to blow them out of the sky. And we had troops on the show in Oklahoma and other states confirmed it. They were getting ready to put the tanks on trains to invade Austin. They were going to roll down MOPAC, the big railroad right out of Oklahoma, right into Austin, right to the Capitol with tanks. And that was on the news, too, that they were going to blow airliners out of the air with F-16s, with Sidewinders, AIM-9s. And if you don't remember that, look it up. I'm not joking about that. They said, we will have a military embargo of Texas. So this is the plan. Foreign banks have taken over. And what's incredible, Will Gregg, is that the re-education camps, the gun confiscation, the Emergency Centers Establishment Act, it's all there, but they'll have the media simultaneously have the Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL, come out and say, we're crazy, there's no world government, when I can pick up Time Magazine, Newsweek, Financial Times, The Economist, where they're announcing, bankers took us over, they're unelected, they're installing leaders in Europe, isn't it great that we're slaves now? I mean, I can play clips of the news saying, we're slaves to world government run by banks, and then the guests all say it's good. I can play that right now, but the ADL says it doesn't exist. What's going on here?
What's going on is that they're pursuing sort of the Soviet approach of demonizing the people who say something rather than attacking what is said or showing the weaknesses of what is said about an event that is documentable. It's a question of motive and one's collective associations that is the most important consideration, according to people like the ADL and the SPLC. The line that they feed the public is that the conspiracy theorists are plotting to take over, and they apparently don't understand the irony of that position. But with respect to this particular document that we're talking about here, what they're describing is a full-spectrum military operation targeting Darlington, South Carolina. The scenario they paint is that in 2016, the depression has deepened, people are getting restive. There's a so-called civic insurrection that replaces the government of this town in South Carolina, which is considered to be a strategically critical choke point because it stands athwart an important east-to-west thoroughfare running across the United States, I think it's I-95. So on the basis of the strategic significance of this city within the battle zone that is the United States, there has to be a coordinated effort involving the Department of Homeland Security and the Pentagon and federalized National Guard troops to go in and put down this insurrection. Their objective is to do this by overawing people by this conspicuous display of force, sort of the same thing that happened with the Whiskey Rebellion in the early years of the Republic. But the fact that they're calling this full-spectrum dominance, and in light of what is said in the other documents that we have read regarding the way that military operations are conducted in environments other than war, operations other than war, it's pretty clear that what you're talking about is that behind this display of force would be the exercise of real force to dispatch people who are considered to be ineducable, people who are not sufficiently intimidated by the display of force would be dealt with as severely, perhaps as we saw in Fallujah when they simply turned that town into a free fire zone.
Well, that's what they're doing drills for. I've been to countless urban warfare drills where they admit they're practicing taking on, quote, the militia. And we've got all these Army training manuals. And the point is, this has been on the books a while, but they're gearing up. They're massively increasing funding. They're massively increasing the drills. And I just can't believe it's actually coming to this. Have you seen all the news articles and all the TV shows where they're bragging that we've now been captured by foreign bankers?
I've seen some shows that convey that message, and there's very little effort to disguise what's going on, and it should be obvious to anybody with even a passing acquaintance with the connections of people like Timothy Geithner and Paulson and the rest of the people who were involved in the October Revolution of 2008, when the entire United States economy was turned over lock, stock, and barrel to the investment banking community as it styles itself. It's pretty obvious that's what's happened. And, of course, you made mention of the fact that you've got the international banking community, as it styles itself once again, appointing political officials in European governments throughout the Eurozone. And you have towns in this country that are being browbeaten into a similar relationship with the banking interests here in this country. And it stands to reason that someplace like a Darlington, South Carolina, or some other bankrupt municipality would give rise to the type of healthy insurrection that's described in this article. And the approach of the Pentagon would be to snuff it out using whatever means would be necessary. And toward the end of this document, there's a perfectly deranged line here that is really, I think, a poker tell. We cannot discount the agility of an external threat, the evolution of Al-Qaeda, for example, and its ability to take advantage of a Darlington event within U.S. borders. Well, there it is. The militias would be the natural handmaidens of Al-Qaeda, whatever that title is.
Yeah, let's stop right there. I've seen them pushing this. That's what I've said. And boy, here's another document saying it. The militia, the anti-New World Order folks, who pretty much disappeared after 9/11 because, you know, they hate, quote, Islam so much, many of them. This is so insane and just a complete and total joke to say that Al-Qaeda would link up with militias. I mean, imagine how gun-owning libertarian conservatives are going to work with Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, our own military brought in to Libya out of Egypt, but also out of the Mediterranean, landing them in Tripoli, tens of thousands of real Al-Qaeda who are now exporting high-tech weapons out of Libya they captured into Syria, yeah. and our own criminal government. How do they do that? Because there's now even articles, I saw another one today. I mean, there's mainstream articles praising Al-Qaeda and what a great job they're doing in Syria. I mean, this is like an Alice in Wonderland thing where the conservative patriots are going to join Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda's good and works with NATO.
There was a piece Sunday night, on NBC just before the Olympics where I think it was Bob Engel was on the ground with a supposed freedom-fighting group there in Syria in which their leadership said, either you give us arms or we're going to turn to Al-Qaeda for help. I mean, it was overt, undisguised, unvarnished war propaganda meant to give people the idea that unless we provide these people with money and arms, then they're going to turn to Al-Qaeda.
Well, that's the same thing. We've got to grow the opium and ship it to America and have the troops grow it in front of you, or Al-Qaeda will grow it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Sure. And, of course, the entire purpose of this type of thing is to create in the public mind this idea that all these supposed threats and all these supposed enemies are compounded into one. If you hear somebody talking about the dangers of what the banking community, the banking interests are doing in our country and talking about the dangers of impending martial law, that at some point, for those who consume uncritically what they're fed by the government-aligned media, they'd say, well, this sounds like the sort of radical stuff that these bearded savages overseas are saying. And so there'd be, I think, at least on the part of some segment of the public, a receptivity to the idea that the government has to do these horrible things in order to deal with insurrectionaries in Darlington, South Carolina, or any place else in the country. The sort of thing that happened almost 20 years ago with respect to the Branch Davidians at Mount Carmel. The public was fed an incessant stream of dehumanizing propaganda, investing David Koresh and his followers with every manner of ugliness and viciousness. And so when they were immolated by the federal government on day 51 of that siege,
they deserved
it. The reaction was on the part of people saying they deserved it. They had it coming to them. They're an evil, sexually deranged cult. And people tend to be malleable there.
By the way, you just mentioned that Pentagon document. They had it on screen while you were just talking, and I was reading it. It talks about checkpoints, not letting the food and water into Darlington, South Carolina, and then having the people exfiltrate out. Yeah. I mean, this is martial law. This is what I've seen the military trained for in the gun confiscation manuals. It says they're going to lock down and barricade cities. I mean, our government has been taken over by foreign banks. The military is being trained to be collaborators with this. It's that simple. And people, they're going to create a climate where they're going to force us to resist. That's why they're training for this. It is the total takeover of our society. Well, Will Gregg, I've always been impressed with your films. I've been impressed with your writing. I don't know why I never got you on the show until now. Maybe over 17 years I might have talked to you once. Have I ever interviewed you before?
No, I think this is my first time, and I appreciate it, Alex.
Yeah, I've talked to Will Jasper and others. Well, great job. We need to get Mr. McManus back on the show as well. Just had Bob Dacey in here a few weeks ago. Thank you so much for your tireless work. You guys really are the proto-Tea Party. You helped wake me up, and then I've helped wake up millions, and just God bless you, and thanks for all the time.
Thank you so much, Alex. God bless you.
All right, goodbye. There goes Will Gregg. I'm going to come back. Go to your calls, John, and then Mike, and then Alex, Marianne, Ron. We'll get to those 5-6 calls, and then it's a news blitz. Believe me, you don't want to miss any of this key intel coming up. I'm Alex Jones, defender of freedom. Look, it's happened in every other country and every other society, every other empire throughout history over and over again. Powerful, corrupt interests get in control and they take over the military and absolutely rob everyone. I mean, government is already inoculating your children nationwide illegally. They get on the news and say it's the law to take vaccines illegally. It's a group of criminals. I have a stack of health news again today. More big studies about how GMO corn and other things is totally sterilizing gerbils within 3 generations. That's why people are going sterile. They've got to have all the drones and stuff in place because another 20 years, with all the health problems we've got now, when another generation hits fertility and 80% of them can't have kids, you're going to have some mad people. But it's all right. There's going to be drugs in the water. They already are putting them in the water. But there'll be public drugs in the water so you don't get upset. This is just that they're just killing us nice and slow. It's all about their power trip because they're wicked and they hate us and they're willing to do it. And they see our cities and our culture as ugly and stupid and we play along with it. And so they're killing us. They're killing us. All those guys sitting there running drones, killing people all day and feeling manly about it as they blow up a whole village to kill one person they claim's a terrorist. They're all being killed too. And a lot of them don't care. They're like, yeah, I know DU's going to kill me. So what? I'm going to kill me some Hodges. And you're like, but it's killing you too. But it's going to increase your birth defects. And they're like, I don't care. I don't care if my kid's totally deformed. So what? I'm tough. I mean, it's really a culture of murder me, kill me, run over me. I want to be a slave. And because it's a spiritual decision with these people. These people at every level of society that serve the dark side, they like it. So I guess in a way it's a good thing. I mean, it's what they want. I saw this photo last night, and it turns out it's old news. And when I saw it, I didn't believe it. I saw it posted on my Facebook, and I didn't believe this photo. In fact, I'll cover it after calls. And it's, I had an abortion, Gloria Steinem, on how wonderful abortions are. I mean, it's one thing if you, you know, get an abortion, that's bad enough. But to act like it's fun and cool and you're in charge, it's just begging for the New World Order to release a bioweapon on us. Planned Parenthood, I had an abortion. I mean, what a sack of trash. CIA officer, sworn to destroy the family. She admits that now. And she loves what she's done to this country. She loves the fact that we're hunchbacked, ugly, stupid, gibbering people now. I mean, she just loves it. She loves the fact that the prisons are full, the children are in pain, the CPS is, I mean, God, we're cursed. She just loves it. Because we're all on abortion. Okay, they want to abort us. You got that? Because they're a bunch of crocodiles. They're a bunch of snakes. They're a bunch of pit demons. Man, Gloria Steinem is a sack of demonic filth that just loves death. Just and they love that power. They're attracted to the fact that we're in charge and we're going to get you. We're going to have your 12-year-old when she gets pregnant. We're going to take him to Planned Parenthood without you knowing, and we're going to abort that baby. And we're going to shoot you up with vaccines and sterilize you. And we're going to do it because we're liberal. We're liberal. John in Utah, you're on the air. Welcome. Then I'm going to go to Mike. You're on the air, John.
I'll go about my ebook on showing why the income tax is and must be voluntary. And it's the key and the silver bullet to getting rid of the income tax. But not only that, since the Obamacare decision by Judge Roberts points out that the mandatory part of the tax is really just an addition to the income tax, it is the key, once people understand that, to negating that the Obamacare. But, you know, to understand this, and the reason we don't understand why the income tax is voluntary is because we don't understand that our tax law has to correspond to that that was in England at the time of the Fifth Amendment was ratified in 1791 in order to meet due process. And it does. And what it corresponds to is the 1040 is a voluntary contract.
Yeah, no, it's all a total fraud of the private Federal Reserve. It's all a total scam. The problem is it doesn't matter if it's not legal and lawful. This is a lawless crime syndicate of hopped-up control freak scum. So just because we've been conquered by foreign manx, the people don't know that yet. So we've got to somehow get the information out to them. But just because it is voluntary, that's why, you know, these globalists don't pay it. They're the only ones that are selectively not attacked by armed robbers who believe they're police officers. They've got armed enforcers that are ready to eat their own children's brains and ask for seconds.
He aligns himself with the truth. And it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Chaos is hanging around. From tree to the ground.
I don't know if new listeners think I'm playing games or joking around.
That machine ain't slowing down. It's gaining power.
Yeah, the death machine isn't slowing down. It's gaining pound for pound. Somehow people think that the military and all these systems of death give us individually power. It doesn't. It gives us insecurity. And the Romans 2,000 years ago knew you didn't let the military inside the country of Italy. It didn't even exist. It was a province of the city-state of Rome. And they couldn't bring the troops in past the Rubicon River in Tuscany, up in the north. You could not bring them into the province of Italy, out of Austria, and out of what is Switzerland today. They had different names then. And, folks, we're going to get hurt bad. I mean, it's not... It's just like last week, Harvard came out and said, we've reviewed more than a dozen top scientific U.S. government university studies on fluoride, and it does increase cancer sevenfold in men in just one type, 70 in women, and it does cause massive brain damage. Yeah, that's why they put it in the water. And again, I just go back to that. This is so far beyond arguments with people, okay? I'm not apologizing here for telling you the truth. We got some sick freaks in control. And the minute they got a national security state in 47, after they brought more than 100,000 Nazis, top Nazis over here, and they didn't just get their knowledge of science, they put them in charge of everything at a director level. And again, this isn't some obsession with Nazis. I mean, that's just the people running things here were already so evil because they taught the Nazis everything they knew. They hired them to run. I mean, we're in a lot. It's kind of like Homeland Security 10 years ago hired Marcus Wolf, the former head of the Stasi, to help set up modern Homeland Security and the Tattletale Squads. And the first time I heard that, it was Al Martin wrote about it. And he's a good writer, so I thought, well, I better look into that. And I went and found what he was talking about in the legislation where they were paying that guy $1 million a year, like $1.2 million or something. But when I read it, when I confirmed it, I was like, it's just, that was 10 years ago. I like hired the former head of the Stasi, but look what they're building. They're building an East German model. I mean, they're not doing this because they want to play tiddlywinks. And so many people I know are like, oh, Obama's horrible. He's a communist and all this stuff. Yeah, he's a communist at a certain level, but he's a globalist. And everybody wants to blame Obama, which fine, blame Obama. Obama's horrible. In fact, there's a story up at the Drudge Report where Jay Carney has come out and attacked Drudge and said, consider the source on Drudge saying Petraeus is being considered. And I just thought about the fact, consider the source. Yeah, consider the source with you. Drudge is the one that exposed the whole Monica Lewinsky thing and so many other things that Bill Clinton said wasn't true. Consider the source here. People that ship guns into Mexico, that give billions of dollars to different energy companies to never build anything, that it's now come out in internal emails and a congressional investigation that Geithner sought to shut down and take pensions of non-union workers at companies. And it's not because they care about union workers. They want to shut this country down. Geithner Treasury drove cutoff of non-union Delphi workers' pensions. And these people worked there 20 years, and they just took their pension funds. I mean, these are criminals. And they want your guns because they know you're going to get so mad with what they're planning to do soon, that you're going to get angry. They know they're going to make you so desperate that you're going to go after them, and they don't want you armed to be able to defend yourself. And so they're training all these poor people who have no future to join the military and the police to have a big war with us, and they don't care that the police and military are going to get shot up in this fight. Let me tell you something, though. The Pentagon, with all its drones, they had, 3,000 of them deployed over Iraq alone, tied to that. The Air Force alone has like 20,000 plus drones they admit to having. 12,000 of the Predator. They couldn't even hold Baghdad. Let me give everybody a news flash here. And let me tell the New World Order and the FBI and all of you something. Just because you go out and create fake militia groups and mix them in with white supremacists to demonize militias, and just because you do these mass shootings and all this other stuff you stage, you have not met the American people yet, okay? And if you think we're going to wait in our houses once you start this criminal takeover for you to send a drone by to burn us out, this isn't going to be like Waco. Now, I want to stop this. And I know a lot of people in government want to stop it as well. But I need the American people to get angry and say no to this corrupt system. And I see it's being played like a fiddle. You know, the abject hatred of Obama and then the point of, well, let's just get Mitt Romney in there and he'll save us. Mitt Romney won't even fight back against Obama on the subject of Fast and Furious. Mitt Romney is literally paid for by the same people. Now, granted, he doesn't have a communist background. Granted, he isn't a mafia thug at the street level like the Chicago Mafia. And he's got white gloves on, so maybe he'd be more dainty. But the globalists are getting what they want out of Obama. So regardless of who Mitt Romney is, does it matter if he wears white gloves when we're the main serving at dinner? And Obama's people aren't wearing white gloves? Because, I mean, I said I'd go to your calls. Ron in New York, thanks for holding, brother. Then we'll go to Mike. Go ahead, Ron.
Good afternoon, Alex. Alex, I heard...
I hadn't heard you in about two or three years. You're a retired police officer, right?
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I heard an interview this morning that was very interesting, and it was with Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I listened very carefully to what he said, and I reflected very heavily on every word that he said. And I don't know that most people would listen to an interview in that way, but I did. He was talking to Amy Goodman, and he was making a statement that here we have the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I say we have this organization which is unaccountable. It's not elected by anybody. It's non-governmental. It is non-transparent. And it is self-appointed. And he was making remarks, you know, they were talking about the shooting in Wisconsin, of course, that they monitor a great deal of the population. They monitor shortwave radio, he says. They monitor websites that they consider neo-Nazi. And it turns out they even monitor, though he didn't say this directly, but he says when people go to these websites, they find out who they are. Then he said that, well, there was a disturbing pattern in the 1990s of people he described as neo-Nazis joining the military. That he and his organization went to the United States military and then told them who they believed these people that were neo-Nazis were, and that the military should not allow them to join the army.
No. They always operate as if, just like the George Soros groups, Think Progress and Media Matters, as if they're God. I mean, if they say you should, you know, jump out a window, you should, because they're little chicken neck control freaks who ran Elohim City. And there they are. They sit up there like they're God. I mean, I was already aware of his statements in the past to that effect.
What really struck me is after thinking through his comments, I'm saying to myself, we have this, as I said, self-appointed, non-transparent, unaccountable organization in high-level discussion with high-level agencies of our government.
Well, no, sir, do you know why? Because they are the governmental commissars, the political enforcers of the foreign banks. The Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL, for all intents and purposes, are our government, sir. Just like top White House officials run Think Progress, and they've said, I need to be shut down, basically, and so does Drudge. No. I mean, they are the government. They are the occupiers.
In this case, as I said, I reflected on it, and I said to myself, you could have American citizens who are looking to join the Army, and it may not just be limited to that circumstance, but at least that much he admitted to, who, just because they might have visited a website or they might have had contact with something which doesn't necessarily mean anything, are just prima facie considered terroristic or neo-Nazi or supremacist.
Well, sir, you know what he really said. Hold on. You know what he really said. The ADL got arrested And they've lost lawsuits over this. They used to break in police departments and steal files, intelligence files. Now they just run the departments, so they don't need to do that. And it's all uploaded into federal systems, and they can put, you know, put whatever they want in there. What he's saying is yes, they've got access, and I've talked to, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be quiet at this point. The point is that I'd already gotten that information, that they have access to NSA hard feeds. The Israelis, on record, run the phone system data mining for much of the federal government. So, yes, these guys can just dial right in to whatever you're doing. They're God, basically. Okay? I mean, do you understand that? That's what he was saying on the show, is that they've got the back doors into everything.
This is what my concern is, that we have people, as I said, who are self-appointed in non-transparent organizations. We don't know who funds them, finances them. We don't know any of the details about any of the major participants in these organizations who are doing this. Now, he tipped his hand. He said, oh, we only get public domain information. But that contradicted a statement he made moments before when he said, we get information on people who buy things from, you know, companies at these websites.
That's why he added that later. Exactly.
That's not public domain information. So how would you know who buys what from whom?
Sir, they had one of their Southern Poverty Law Center writers, who's one of their operatives, within hours of that cop killer saying he did it because he, for me. When it turned out the guy was a white supremacist who was attacking me and saying I was going to get it. I mean, imagine how much I'm on their radar. The guy kills three cops, and within 2 hours, it's in the newspaper that it's my fault. Then we found the guy's handle and proved that he was saying he was going to get me, and then they had to retract. But, I mean, again, they, folks, when I say we're in danger, Think Progress says they want our funding shut off, whatever that means. And Media Matters got caught in their own memos saying they wanted to infiltrate media organizations to destroy them, to sabotage. I mean, these are military operations. These are globalist frontline commissars for the takeover. They are the collaborator agents. I mean, I've talked to people that work inside that facility, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they say it's got higher security than basically the White House. Well, yeah, because it is the White House. It's the banker house. It's an NSA hub. Go ahead.
To be exposed, then we have to demand transparency. Now, if this is a non-governmental organization, even though I understand what you're saying and I agree with that completely, the fact is technically this organization has to show a certain amount of transparency and accountability. And I think it's time the American people insist upon that.
Media Matters is tax-free and runs around saying it's their job to destroy alternative media. Infiltrate and destroy. Look it up. It was even in Politico. And Politico thought it was cute. Oh, they're going to infiltrate the alternative media from within and sabotage it. I mean, imagine if a memo came out where I said I was going to infiltrate, say, the Dallas Morning News, and I was going to sabotage them. I would be arrested for conspiracy to commit crimes. So,
said that you had gone that far and done that, and there was no question or investigation of it. And this guy, Potok, this morning, basically did that. And what amazed me is certainly no one interviewing him, and to my knowledge, nobody else.
Well, they are listening right now. They are listening right now. What do you want to say to them?
Well, I want to say to them that if they are so worried about watching everybody else and determining their level of patriotism and whether they fit the model of a good American, then they should set the example and they should be transparent and forthcoming about their own operations and about their own funding and basically who they are and what is it that they represent, particularly in the area of funding. I mean, it is a tax-exempt organization, and they do have a legal obligation. Now, I'm only asking them as good Americans to live up to their legal obligation to make these facts transparent.
Well, that's another point. All over the country, last time I checked, over 1,000 Tea Party groups have been audited and shut down for no reason. Why does Media Matters get to be tax-free when it's publicly run by White House officials and has weekly meetings? And Think Progress is publicly funded by George Soros and has the White House transition chief as its head. I mean, why is the White House calling for me to be basically shut down with a tax-free organization? Can you imagine if I tried to be tax-free, Ron, what would happen?
First off, you would never be given a designated status by the Internal Revenue Service. And if you were, the second you went one inch out of line, you know that they'd bring a hammer down on you, if that were to even happen. But they wouldn't even designate you as a tax-exempt organization. But the point is this. The larger point is they're watching everybody. They admit just about that. And making judgments about thousands, maybe millions of people, for all I know. Who's watching the watches?
Well, by the way, they've got this whole chicken neck cover. They're very dangerous people.
Even the man's disposition, if you heard him talk, and if you've ever seen him before, and if you heard him talk in this morning's interview, the man is drooling, dripping, oozing with arrogance, oozing with a sense of I have power and, you know.
Oh, I know. It's disgusting. And you know what? They do have power. They've taken this country over. It's theirs now, and they're got TV shows coming out on ABC TV. We're called Founding Fathers, where Texas gun owners are bad. I mean, they've got shows coming out where families are bad, fathers are bad. Every movie we try to go see for the children, fathers are bad. We're going to do a review of Brave, where the men are bad. And it's just, look, they run things. This, all of this is theirs. I mean, they did it, and now they want our guns, and I just can't believe so many police get in these meetings where they badmouth George Washington on video. I've got video of it, and cops call in and say they've seen it and it upsets them. But they say a lot of the... I mean, any of your buddies that are still in the police department, are any of them waking up, or is there nothing they won't do? If they ordered them like Stalin did to arrest a million people and put them in a meat grinder, would they do it?
We've spoken about this. I have called your show since about 2002, and we spoke about this early on. I know I haven't called in the last few years, but I spoke about this back then. As a matter of fact, you actually disagreed with me. You fought me a little bit on this point, and I says, poor Alex doesn't really know. He's trying to be nice. You were trying to be nice is what you were trying to be, but sometimes you have to be truth. That's the nice, you know, not the
so what did you say? You said the police will put us in meat grinders.
I said that. Remember that? I told you that a long time ago. These are careerists, paramilitarists. These are the type of guys they've hired now ever since the Clinton era.
And they get to fight a bunch of women and children. Drugged out, poisoned Americans. It must be fun to play military with a bunch of zombies. Tonight, I will be hosting the InfoWars Nightly News.
Ira Hayes.
We're going to be breaking down GMO-fed hamsters become infertile, have stunted growth. Another big study is out on this. Another big scientific study. I mean, there's just so many of these. And this is what we're being fed. They are killing us deader than a hammer, man. They're killing our capacity genetically to have offspring, and that is true death. Man, they're cold-blooded. They said they do it, and they're doing it. I just... But, you know, in a way, it's so over the top, they're evil, that I don't worry about myself or my family, because there's... I don't know how to explain it. It's so bad, it's liberating. It's so bad that it just... nothing means anything anymore. I mean, if some guy cuts me off and flips me off, or some big guy bows up to me walking out of a store, I just say yes, sir, to him. Used to, that would just torture me if I didn't beat the daylights out of him, and I would feel like a big wimp. Now I'm just like, yes, sir. Because I realize they're just a brain-damaged zombie being poisoned and prepared for death. Again, status means nothing. Nothing means anything anymore. But defeating these people, and my only frustration is I can't do enough. I don't work hard enough to beat these people. We work really hard to bring you this information, and I've got a bunch of news I got to in this hour, but a bunch I didn't. I'm going to blitz it tonight. I'm going to make myself cover it all in the nightly news. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, it's 15 cents a day. The same username and passcode can be used by six people, so it's really six memberships for $5.95 a month, and it is your membership that funds us. I want to thank everybody, despite the fact we're in a depression in many areas of the country, recession in others, for supporting us and getting the word out and standing beside us all these years, our AM and FM affiliates, our sponsors, our listeners. I really want to thank you. And I do the best I can, but I just want you to know I'm honored that you've supported us and that you believe in us. And I care about you. I love you. I love everybody that loves freedom and loves the truth. And it's so painful to see the zombies that serve the New World Order. All the different flavors of them. Who think they're winners, who think they're on the winning team. And I wish people like Potok and others would just wake up and realize just how evil this whole system is. I mean, maybe they know about the eugenics, but usually it's compartmentalized. But most people in this evil system, they don't get a memo to avoid the GMO like the Monsanto engineers who do not eat GMO and whose plants don't allow it to be served. That's a big deal. You can look that up. That's London Telegraph, you name it. I remember the first time I heard that like 6 months ago. I didn't know it was like 12-year-old news. And since then, I've been in the news dozens of times. I saw that information and it just blew me away. I'll have to do a little bit of overdrive because I promised to go to Mike. So we'll go to break, come back a little 5 minute and go to Mike and maybe a few others. But when I take off a few days, you notice I'm calling in the whole time. I'm not really taking off. A lot of times I'm here in the office when I take off every few weeks, a couple days. I'm here trying to get the new reporters in place, the new equipment, the new editing software, the new research, the background, this newspaper I'm launching. And I just wish that I could impart the knowledge, the total commitment that, that's not even the right word, the knowledge. I mean, I know I'm right. I know, and I have all their admissions. I've got several books over there on the bookshelf written by the White House science czar where he talks about putting stuff in your food and water, which that was written in the 70s. They do. I mean, it's just these are absolute criminal murderers. I mean, I don't know what else I'm supposed to say. Somebody's got to stop them. Yeah, we're living in a science fiction movie. We've got our own species. We've set up a predatory psyche, a predatory hierarchy, where we are the prey. By some twist of fate, we the Eloi are the prey, they the Morlocks, the rulers. And I don't like it. And I don't want to give the planet and our whole future over to these people. Things are going to get real crazy real quick. They're not getting ready to go operational with martial law because they're playing games. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Mass. Thanks for holding, Mike. We got to you, though. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for going into overdrive, Alex. I miss the days when you guys used to do about an hour every day. But I had a question real quick. You spoke earlier about, I can't remember his name, some guy who went to a conference talking about how we should kill all of us or most of us. Well, who was that, and where can I get information on that?
There's a whole bunch of them. I mean, who are you talking about? Peter Singer, Dr. Eric Pianka? You're talking about John P. Holdren? You're talking about Ted Turner? You're talking about Prince Charles, Prince Philip, Maurice Strong, United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment, State Department Memorandum 200? I mean, they basically, all of them say it. If you see the director of a major federal health department, go look up their name and population reduction or their name and eugenics. You're not in the ruling elite unless you swear that you want to kill everybody.
Yeah, I guess that's the in vogue, the thing to do these days.
Yeah, since 1850. Sure has been. Yep. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. That took over the British Empire. That's what the whole thing's about.
No, I'm well aware. I've been following Aaron Dykes' assessment of the eugenics movement, and it's very enlightening. The other question, I can't seem to find any information on this. Maybe you remember, maybe a year or two ago during the swine flu thing, Massachusetts tried to pass some legislation for forced inoculations.
Just type in Massachusetts forced inoculations. They were going to force nurses, and then under the health emergency, what's the name of that thing I had trouble with the other day? Because it's from 2002. They were trying to implement that piecemeal, the Health States Emergency Powers Act. or the Model Health States Emergency Powers Act. There you go. And under that, oh, yeah, but they're already hitting, like any criminal, any pedophile, any drug dealer, they're already hitting our kids. They already shoot them up from Alabama to California. They already line them up and shoot them up. We got big breaking news on that with Mike Adams on Thursday. Knowingly killing us with the vaccines. Just, again, there's no end to their murderousness. But, yeah, that was in the Boston Globe. I bet I can find it right now. Keep talking.
Yeah, well, I was trying to figure out whether or not it had passed because I know it went up for the vote. But specifically, I know that it mentioned how if the governor declares a state of emergency, they can evacuate homes, snatch children, they can...
No. I mean, I just typed it in. Massachusetts mandatory vaccine bill leads the way to... And it goes on. It was Mike Adams wrote about it, but then it has links to the local news. Yeah. Arrest for refusal to be decontaminated. Forced quarantine for those who refuse illegal imprisonment without charge. Forced vaccinations. $1,000 a day fines. Involuntary transportation. Government price controls. Violation of the 14th Amendment. Violation of the 4th Amendment. Yeah, there it is. Isolation camps. And then he's got links to mass.gov. There at the bottom, it's got the mass.gov/legus, MEMEUHHTM. Yep, there it is, Larry Loving. I'll just copy that and put it in the computer right now and show people. What's on your mind today? Anything else, Loving?
I had an idea, actually, for your show, if you were curious.
Yeah, go ahead. I was telling him punch up my screen. Go ahead. There it is.
Yeah, as like a flanker to the nightly news, maybe if you had somebody like Fritz Springmeier with like more information dense books to do like a seminar series, like 1 hour a week or something.
I agree. We want to do it all. We want a seminar series, the gun show. We just got to get the people and the infrastructure in place. All right. See you tonight.